Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, July 5th, 2024. We are glad you are here because we love what we do. We love to talk wrestling with you. And this week we have predictions. We have Money in the Bank. We have NXT Heatwave. But as we start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
I'm okay. I mean, Spain beat Germany like an hour ago. And like, this is one of those rare occasions when I dread that I don't have a television right in front of me just so I can watch the game while we do our show. But actually, I don't think I'll need it because I have really angry neighbors. And I might as well just know what's happening. Not watching the game whatsoever.
So they're watching too, like I assume.
Oh yeah, everyone is. Like I can see everyone's television from my window.
Oh, gotcha. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a big thing.
Was Spain favor, or do you know like who was? Is Germany a really good team, or like should have Spain?
Like both matches that are for today, Spain and Germany, and right now, Portugal and France are starting to play. Like both these matches are really head-to-head matches, and they're really important ones too. So it's, you know, it's coming to an end, and like also Wimbledon is happening right now, and you know, then the Olympics will come, and then you know our city music festival.
So you're staying busy,
and it's like it's been a summer, and I was just talking to you know a bunch of regulars. I told them there was nothing last year. Like there was no music festival, there were no tournaments or anything, like no football cups, either world or European, none. Like there was nothing. And all of a sudden now, all of this at the same time, including Olympics. Yay. So I'm not going to be mad about it. This just means more, you know, work for my bar, like more money, more income and whatever.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. I mean, might as well say to our fans of Coexisting, in the upcoming weeks, I feel like not next week, but the week after, we will be doing our show on a Thursday. No, on a Saturday. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, on a Saturday night at the same time, but on a Saturday night, because I would like to go and watch Korn and Bring Me the Horizon play in my hometown. And this is why Rob was, you know, sweet enough to agree for us to have the show on Saturday. Just so I can go be a teenager for one last time.
One last time. Apparently. Come on.
One last time for the kids, you know, for the kids. So, hi, guys. Welcome to our show. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy Friday. Might as well get all the plugsies out of the way. Thank you for joining us. Please leave a like on the video. It is the easiest way to support us. I will tell you each and every time at the beginning of our show. If you're feeling generous and want to support us with your wallets, you can send a super chat. It's the bottom of the live chat on YouTube, the little dollar sign. Any amount will get your question or statement read on the air. If you're watching us on other platforms, you can send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. Please, please subscribe to Fightful Overbooks, subscribe to Fightful's YouTube main channel, and last but definitely, definitely not least, subscribe to Fightful Overbook. A lot of scoops coming, came last week during Forbidden Door, New Japan, and AEW. Same goes for this week as well. A lot of scoops from Corey Brennan about NXT Heatwave, and a lot of scoops from Money in the Bank, future contracts, Dijak news, Ricochet news, and everything. And a little bit of news about, the lockbox that Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon, you know. Lockbox. What?
Did you say lockbox?
Yeah, the lockbox.
Okay, I thought you said love box. I was like, I think that's something else.
I feel like there's no love lost between those two, and I don't care for that matter. It is none of my business, and I do not want to know. So yeah, the lockbox, the huge question that was around all these years that was never ever answered. You can get the full story on FIFO Select. Please subscribe. $5 a month, the easiest $5 you will have. But yes. Please send us a super chat. It is the best way to tell everyone at Fightful that you support us and support our show. Or, you know, if you want to be goofy with us every time.
Yeah.
We did have a question on the live chat from Matt Reichel, the first chat in the live chat. Are you going to change your picks? Because you were on the spotlight yesterday, and I watched, and I know what picks you did.
Yeah, I know. And chances are I will, because I think about it some more, you know, and some things come out. So I will probably pick. There is a possibility, and I forgot to mention this before we started, there is a possibility that Corey will join us to talk NXT. So Corey Brennan, a Fightful.
Hopefully.
So hopefully he'll be able to join us. So looking forward to that if that happens. But we have a lot to get into, so
we do have a lot to get into.
I think maybe we should start with some of the news instead of going into.
Okay, let's start with the news and let's dive into predictions. That's perfectly fine.
So one of the things that TNA yesterday, I don't know if you watch. I know you haven't been able to watch TNA.
No.
As late, but Charlie Dempsey. Yes. Showed up last night on TNA. He attacked Mr. The Rascals, basically, you know, what it came down to. So that was cool. It was good to see him. It's good to see them still doing all this fun stuff. You know, I really enjoy it. So Charlie Dempsey showed up at the Impact, and I picked that picture because I thought it was great. So
of course, yes, of course you would. This is kind of weird because I thought that the Rascals were going to join Wesley fighting Gallus.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going to go in a way different direction, but I suppose we're about to see. That's completely fine with me. Charlie Dempsey has been having a ball. I mean, he's been here and there while in under a WWE contract. I'm here for that.
Yeah, you know, it's good. I just like all of it in general. So it's what we call good stuff, pal. Honestly, with a pay-per-view week, it's been kind of quiet with news-wise, like WWE. Something that did come out today is that Trish Stratus will host the Money in the Bank. So that's good. It's always good to see her on WWE programming. But
chill.
Yeah, for her. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, I'm right there with you.
Renee Michelle's going to be debuting at with MLW at MLW's Blood and Thunder. So that's good. Good for her. You know, there's just it's just one of those things, you know, like I'll just go ahead and start. What do you think of Forbidden Door?
Oh, Forbidden Door was really good. I know there's one thing I would like for Tony Khan to change, and that is, please, for the love of God, quit it with those 14 matches cards. Because while I watch wrestling in the morning with my coffee, like there is a lot of, you know, the people that you are most looking forward to watching your show, you know, North Americans. I mean, like, not a lot of them have the opportunity to stay up until 2 a.m. to watch a show and then go to work in the morning. I know, like, you're into the whole water cooler conversation on Monday mornings. I suppose that's the real reason behind the Saturday night pay-per-views. And I'm wrong. But if I have to be perfectly honest, I didn't mind that card when I was at Wembley last year. But in the middle of the show, I was like, yeah, I have to go to the bathroom, but I will never get up from this seat because this is my first ever wrestling show and I'm not missing a minute of it.
Yeah.
Like whatsoever. This year, I hope that Chris Jericho wrestles, you know, someone stupid, not Ricochet, because I kind of feel like he's going to wrestle Ricochet. I'm not even kidding. I hope that Chris Jericho has a concert right in the middle of the ring and I'm like, pee break. Pee break.
Wow.
Yeah. So please put an end to these ridiculously long pay-per-views because I can't. Okay. I can't. I just can't. Okay. Well, so
yeah.
Did you want to say something? Did I?
No, I just, I understand where you're coming from.
A lot of these matches could have been a really awesome match for Dynamite or, you know, or Collision or whatever. I mean, like, all of the matches were good. I'm not going to stand here and tell lies because, like, all of the matches were good. Like, we didn't need all of these matches, okay? I nearly had a heart attack during Orange County, Orange Cassidy. God fucking damn it. Orange Cassidy versus Zack Sabre Jr. I almost thought that OC was going to pull off the win, and I was fucking ready to be pissed off.
Yeah.
But well, then, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. did everything in his power. He tied Orange Cassidy in a knot, okay? Like, few people have been able to get out of the mousetrap, and Zack Sabre Jr. is one of these people. Don't even get me started on Monet versus Stephanie. I've been so impressed with Stephanie. I haven't been that familiar with her. There's just so much wrestling to watch, okay? And especially when you have a full-time job in a, you know, Eastern Europe and, like, you have shit to do. Amazing match. The crowd turned on Mercedes Moné, of course. It was New York. Yeah, and, you know, apparently New York and Boston have a thing. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, they don't like each other. Like, you know, that's the thing. Like, because Boston Red Sox suck.
Who does New York like?
New York just likes New York, you know.
Yeah, and everyone hates New York, right?
Yeah, and whoever beats Boston, any Boston.
And whoever. Team, okay. Yeah. That's
fine. That's usually how it goes. So
yeah,
I mean, I get it.
Four versus or Ospreay. Oh my god. Oh my god. That was a wonderful thing. A lot of stories told in this specific match. I'm glad that it got. Jesus.
Bless you.
I was trying to sneeze for the last 2 minutes, and I deserve all the damn cookies. I finally sneezed. I'm so sorry for all the audio listeners. But I'm sorry, but not really, because that was really weighing on me. I did not do cocaine before the show, by the way.
Well, you'd ask if you blew your nose, like off camera to do that. So, but you know, the thing that was surprising to me is, I mean, it was a good show. A lot of matches. We know you had, they added Kyle Fletcher versus Serpentico. Like, it seemed like that was out of the blue, because I didn't know about that one, because we didn't talk about it at all, and I never saw it mentioned. So that was
what?
Yeah, they did you not know that?
I didn't hear, but because I was scrolling through the comments. What were you talking about?
It was just surprising that they added the Kyle Fletcher and Serpentico match, like at the beginning.
Yeah, it was really weird to me too, and I was like, "What?"
3 minutes. It was a 3 minute match, so I mean, it was just kind of like, "Well, okay."
Yeah, give them Dave both Meltzer work. Gave it 1 star.
Wow. So, but yeah, you know, and even the pre-show was good. You know, you had your guy.
J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T.
Yeah. RJ City, Renee Paquette.
And it was really personal because he was wearing my Bars t-shirt, right?
Yeah. And
yeah, I'm going to yell at him.
Oh, later. And God, who was the other one? There was another person. Rocky Romero. So.
Well, you can't have Forbidden Door without Rocky Romero. So, like,
yeah, he's the godfather. Or, well, technically, Tony Khan's the godfather because he's the money supplier. But the right hand, you would say, was Rocky Romero. He's the one that makes the show happen. So, there you go. Look at all those pops there for Sean. They liked it. Oh, well, Corey jumped. So, you know how it goes. But I thought you'd like that, because that way I didn't have to say J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R-E-double-T. See?
No. You know what? Because, like, I was talking to Sean this week, and he said...
I just do this to pop myself, that's all.
I know. And because like, he said on the AEW post show, he mentioned that he was really, really serious when he means that Shane McMahon could pop in at AEW. And like, I finished the post show, I started, you know, cleaning my apartment, and then I texted him and I was like, I heard you say that you were serious about Shane McMahon, and now I'm kind of thinking of blocking you and quitting Fightful, because like, what the hell. And he died laughing. Mm-hmm. And now that he made this Jeff Jarrett thing, I'm sure as hell blocking him.
Well,
I'm not going to quit Fightful because of you, Rob, and all our fans of coexisting, well, you know, our coexisting crew, our posse.
Yeah.
You know, I'm blocking Sean. Thank you for that. I will ask you to burn my Bars t-shirt, and then I'm blocking you. Thank you, Sean, you asshole. So, like, let's dickhole. So let's. It's personal now, okay?
Yeah.
Like, first he says, "Oh yeah, sure. I'm not even kidding. Shane McMahon could pop in at AEW," and I was like, "Yeah, okay, you're on thin ice." And now I'm just throwing you in the deep water, sweetie. You're dead to me.
Yeah. See, Frantic, I put the respect on Double J. Maggie's the one that.
What I want to put.
Oh,
is ice on my butthole, because I've been having diarrhea from that name a lot. So.
Oh, Jesus, Maggie. Come on. God. Okay. So
let's get into some predictions, okay? That's not fuckery.
Okay. Well, So did you have a favorite match of the card before we move on?
And
just one. I just want one.
Money in the Bank or
no? I'm talking Forbidden Door.
Are we still Forbidden Door? Oh, yeah. That's easy. Osprey and Swerve.
Okay, mine too. I just wanted to make sure.
So. Yeah, I mean, I was mostly invested in Orange Cassidy and Zack Sabre Jr. because I legitimately had no idea what the outcome of the match was going to be. I knew who was winning between Swerve and Osprey.
Yeah.
The match was amazing. I liked it more than, you know, but I liked OC and Zack Sabre Jr. because I kind of feel like Orange Cassidy always surprises us in matches like that. And whilst I was this close to killing Ryan on our post on our pre-show because he suggested Orange Cassidy would win, I wasn't mad because I hated Orange Cassidy. I hope that that's clear. I love the guy. It's just I love Zack Sabre Jr. so much.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope that he wins the G1. I hope that he wins the IWGP Championship. I hope that he gets all the other championships. Strap a rocket on him. Get him to the moon. Or whatever, you know, the old people are saying right now. I don't give a fuck. Just put the entire company on that.
They need to do it.
Hot piece of asses back.
Wow. Okay. Well, I wasn't going to add that part, but. Yeah, I get it. Hey, no, I understand that they need to make a star because they're struggling to.
All the other ones are gone.
Yeah. But we do have a super chat from Ryan Sullivan. He says, Maggie really hates being alone with her baby tonight. Nice little pun with Jeff Jarrett there.
What the fuck? Like, what is this? Why is this a thing?
Because of me.
Oh, because of you. Okay. So, like, no one made a thing out of Jay White's sacrifice thing.
Yeah. No, I know. But
it's about Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. Sweet. I mean, I can bring that back.
Sacrifice!
See? It's that easy, Maggie.
Okay, let's talk about some predictions.
Okay, let's move on to the predictions for Maggie does quit Fightful. So, should we start with NXT? Because I don't know if Corey's going to make it. Or do you want to start with Money in the Bank? Should we just go in order of the shows?
Let our fans decide.
Yeah, okay,
everyone in the chat, please suggest with which show should we start.
Yeah, you guys pick, and we will go that route.
Oh, Jane's here. She can, you know, correct us about everything now. Hi, sweetie. I'm so glad that you're here.
Yeah, so we'll let them decide if they want Money in the Bank. Or
what
if
they the fuck? I said hi, sweetie, and then Siri just popped in.
So we got one for Money in the Bank. We got one for Heatwave. D'Lo Dick says Heatwave. Hey, D'Lo, how you doing, buddy? Miss you. I hope married life's going well for him. I'm sure it is, because he's just...
Being married is awesome. Okay, yeah. So Money in the Bank. We're starting with Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
Yes.
It is. So, well, Maggie, it's come out that... I don't think it's been official by any means, but and maybe it has changed since I last looked. So I'm going to try to go in order. I can't really go in order, but it sounds like the men's world championship match between Damian Priest and Seth Rollins is going to be the main event, which makes sense with the ladder match. Yeah, which makes me think the men's Money in the Bank match will probably open the show. So you have LA Knight, Drew McIntyre, Carmelo Hayes, Andrade, Jey Uso, and Chad Gable in the men's Money in the Bank match. Maggie?
I mean, sure, start with the hardest one.
Well, that's what she said. I like to bring it hard. And so. So
what
anyways.
Do you think? What do you think happens here?
Well, I think for the longest time, I really thought Jey Uso was going to win this, you know, but they are obviously going the Drew McIntyre route, I believe. So
what's obvious?
Well, I just think that with the CM Punk stuff going on and just with the whole Judgment Day situation going on with Finn Balor and Liv Morgan, I you know, going on there, you have Damian Priest who would have to leave if he loses. So it's just, there's all kinds of stuff in there that makes it feel like Damian Priest's time is up with this belt. And he's done nothing wrong by any means. I think he's been a really good champion. I just think that they're going to be moving on from it, because he's going to lose that belt to Gunther, in my opinion. Like, whoever wins this belt is going to lose it to Gunther. And in my opinion, if they can go with Damian Priest not getting pinned in this, because I'm hoping Drew cashes in the middle of the match is what I'm hoping. And I'm hoping he pins Seth Rollins. That's what I want. If CM Punk doesn't cost him. Because if CM Punk costs him, that means Seth Rollins will win the match. And then I think Gunther and Seth Rollins, because in my opinion, Drew McIntyre can take the pin against Gunther, and so can Seth Rollins, and they'll be fine. Damian Priest,
everyone will be fine against them.
I just think you can protect Damian Priest a lot longer if he doesn't get pinned, because you can run that story for a long time, and I think it would go a long ways for him. And it's a good way for them to give him a match at SummerSlam with Finn Balor if they go that route now, because he can just avoid the title. I mean, you obviously want the title, we know that, but if you go that route, you have a match for Finn and Damian at SummerSlam, you have CM Punk versus Drew for a non-title match, you have Seth Rollins and Gunther for a title match at SummerSlam, so they can get three matches set up if they go this route. Now, we know I suck ass when it comes to predictions, so none of this will happen. So what do you think will happen, Maggie?
Honestly, I can see two things happening here, and I'm having a really, really rough time picking one. I kind of feel like they can go with... By the way, I will be quoting Penny a lot, because I was on True Heel Heat with SP3 and Spencer from Love Wrestling, making predictions for Money in the Bank. And Spencer had a lot of excellent points, so I will be quoting you, and I will be giving you credit, sweetie, for the things that you mentioned. So I can see them going with Jey Uso because of all that freaking advertisement that they do. Yeet in the Bank is one of the stupidest things I ever heard, but apparently it's popular with the kids. It's so stupid. For me personally, it kind of makes no sense for Jey Uso to win. But when you kind of think about it, it does make more sense for Jey Uso to win and not Drew McIntyre because of all the reasons I'm going to say now. So Drew McIntyre. They can either have CM Punk cost Drew McIntyre the briefcase as he's on the top of the ladder. CM Punk can go out and just push the ladder just so Drew McIntyre can fall off. CM Punk can cost Drew McIntyre the briefcase. But what is more heartbreaking for Drew McIntyre is if he held the Money in the Bank briefcase and he had a championship opportunity in his hands and then went to cash in during the main event between Priest and Seth Rollins, and then CM Punk costs him because it turns into a three-way match, a triple threat, and there's no disqualifications during a triple threat. So CM Punk can cost him there because it'll be that much sweeter for him and that much more bitter for Drew McIntyre. Okay? With me so far?
Yep.
Okay. But here's the thing. I don't know if they're willing to sacrifice a money in the bank briefcase just to further a storyline that's already been made.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're willing to do that. And this is the only reason why I'm going with Jey Uso. Because here's the thing. The awesome part of the card for Money in the Bank is the fact that there's zero chance the women's Money in the Bank briefcase gets cashed in during the same night because there's no, like, the two women's champions aren't on the card because they're not competing.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much guaranteed, and this is a quote from Spencer. This is the first quote I'm using. It's basically guaranteed that you are at least going to have the third most lengthy reign with the women's Money in the Bank briefcase, already guaranteed when you win it.
Yeah. I think I picked Drew McIntyre yesterday, but
you did.
Okay. So I'm one for one. Okay. This is going to be a fun game.
This is going to be a fun game. I'm picking, yeah. Again, it's like head-to-head race for me in my head between Drew and Jey Uso. I'm going with Jey Uso for the sole reason that I don't think that they're sacrificing a prop to further a storyline that is already perfect.
Sure. Well, let's go to another match. This match, I actually think the title will change hands here. It is Sami Zayn defending his Intercontinental title against Bron Breakker. I love Sami Zayn. We love Sami Zayn. I don't see how Bron Breakker does not win this match, though. I mean, Sami's had this title for 3 months now. I think this is the route they go. Bron Breakker can hold this title for a while. He's not going to hold it nearly as long as Gunther, but he can hold it for a while. What do you think?
I rarely have hope for some shenanigans during a match, but I'll make an exception for this one because I don't want either of these people to actually lose the match. I understand that a lot of people are pushing and fantasy booking Sami Zayn to be a part of the new bloodline, you know, that gets formed for, you know, the old bloodline versus the new bloodline in Survivor Series War Games match. I understand that they're doing that.
War Games.
Yes, I understand that. And in order for that to work, like, he doesn't need to have the Intercontinental Championship with him. But you know what? That's really far away. And he can still hold the IC belt for a couple of more months, okay? I know he didn't just get it, but I do kind of feel like he just got it because he's been battling Chad Gable for like 3 years. And now... And now all of a sudden it's Bron Breakker. I was happy with the fact that Sami Zayn handpicked Bron Breakker to be his opponent because this kind of puts over both of them, if you understand. Yeah. I like the way Bron Breakker has been presented on the main roster. I hate his fucking theme. I wanted to die in a fire. But, like, we are going to be mentioning wrestling themes a lot on this show today. At least some sort of shenanigans must happen during this match, probably. I will not mind if they crown Bron Breakker as a new Intercontinental Championship. I will have zero complaints, but I just feel like Sami Zayn will continue as champ, retaining.
You know, this is just me going off topic here for a quick second, and it's not really off topic.
I'm sure it's going to be
quick. Brought it up. Well, I just wish there was somebody, and this is just everybody will agree with us for the most part. WWE needs to get new music, for the love of God. Just it can't be that hard. There's so many musicians out there that are really talented that they can.
Okay, what do you mean? Do you mean you don't like you catch Republic?
Yeah.
Oh, that is so stupid.
Styles. Like, well, now, yeah, they do the intro name, like Charlotte Flair or whatever, or the Queen, whatever.
All hail,
that's what it is. Like, Jesus Christ. That's just my little tangent off topic. They just need
to. No. It's never off topic when it comes to wrestling, and I'm on a show with you.
Well,
it's
true.
Because it's no. Wrestling themes matter, okay? I'm the kind of person, because I love music. Music is important to me, and there are a lot of people exactly like me out there in the world. There's a small fly in my room.
Nice.
And it's still less annoying than the new themes that wrestlers have. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. So, a specific theme music that a wrestler has is able to make me like the wrestler more. Mm-hmm. It's really important. And I am 100% sure that I am not the only one who thinks like this. Oh, so, yes.
Well, we got another super chat from Ricardo. He says, nah, WWE would rather the hate than lose Def Rebel. Ugh. The way it's going, I think so.
You know, thank you for the super chat, but I'm in denial, okay? I just...
Well, the thing is, Sean has said that they are aware, WWE is aware of how people feel about Def Rebel. So that's a good thing, at least for now.
Well, now that they're aware, maybe they can, you know, do something about it.
Yeah. So, yes. So, Bron Breakker, I assume I picked Bron Breakker yesterday.
I really don't remember about this one.
Yeah, I don't either. So that tells you how we're doing. So we'll go on from that one. Let's move on to the next hardest match, I think, to predict. The women's Money in the Bank match featuring Tiffany Stratton, Lyra Valkyrie, Io Shirai, Naomi, Zoe Stark, and Miss Chelsea.
Chelsea Green!
Yesterday, I know for a fact, I think I picked Tiffany Stratton.
You did not. And I said Chelsea Green.
Good, because that's who I was going with today. Chelsea Green. Like, I think Chelsea Green needs to win this damn match because she can hold on to this briefcase for so long. And she can make it a bit with the gimmick. Not necessarily, don't do it the way they did with Damian Priest by any means, but just let her carry that thing forever. They can do all kinds of things, gimmicks with it. Just add comedy bits to it. Just go that route, for the love of God, please. Now, don't get me wrong. Tiffany Stratton would be a great champion when she does it. I just prefer her to win the Rumble. That's it. That's all I got to say. But I'm glad I went with Chelsea Green, because that's who I wanted yesterday.
Okay, I'm picking Tiffany Stratton here. I love and I adore Chelsea Green. I feel like she will be a fingerprint away from that briefcase, and because she's from Canada, right?
Yes, Vancouver.
Yes, okay. So, and everyone's going to cheer her for her. And how
Vancouver
could you
area.
Not?
Let me just be
okay,
safe
okay.
on that.
Everyone's going to cheer for her. She'll be the one baby face in that match. Like, I understand that Lyra's there and Naomi's there. Like, I get it. But, like, she'll be the most cheered person in that match. But Tiffany Stratton, I predict that she's going to push her off the ladder, because if you don't remember, Chelsea Green has made some viral moments on ladders back in Impact when she was a part of that. Mm-hmm. So she's perfectly okay with, you know, taking a bunch of hard to look at bumps. I do see Tiffany Stratton winning, and, you know, making, you know, the whole briefcase with the pink, you know, look with the Barbie font that says Tiffy in the Bank. I can see it. Thank you, Doc, for the super chat. He says Chelsea wins or I riot. I understand But you have to understand that Chelsea got over in spite of the fact that she has to be a heel. Yeah. And I can see the Money in the Bank briefcase. Like, we all know that the Money in the Bank briefcase is better, works better when it's on a heel. Okay. Oh, yeah. And both Jey Uso and Drew McIntyre are faces. Drew McIntyre is one of the biggest baby faces in the company. I don't care who you are or what you think or if you like CM Punk or not.
Timeout. Yeah. He's been like bringing up AJ Lee. So
he's a fan.
Okay, that's why you're saying that. Okay, that makes sense. Then. Okay, I just wanted.
He didn't even mention her name. He said your wife. So he,
yeah,
you know, he respects her enough not to bring up her name. He did say Larry because he hates Larry because Larry's seen some stuff during Brawling.
Larry's seen some shit.
Larry sees some shit, and Drew doesn't give a crap because it's a dog. You know, and he respects AJ Lee, and that's why. Okay.
Well, you can't be a face and not like dogs. So.
Yeah, but that particular dog, you can. Like.
Wow. Okay, Maggie. You got to remember, this is AJ Lee's dog too. So whatever.
I understand, but it's not about AJ Lee right now. It's about Drew McIntyre and CM Punk.
I know. I'm just trying to get you going again. You know me.
If AJ Lee's in the front row, she's gonna kick the crap out of Drew McIntyre, and then. I'm going to be behind CM Punk. Only then, okay? Yeah. Only then. Up until that particular moment, Drew McIntyre told zero lies, okay? Zero lies.
Yeah. Just Ricardo sends us a super chat again. Thank you, sir. He says, Chelsea wins or I write mean tweets to SRS.
Well, what does Sean have to do with it? I mean, I don't care. Like, Sean did the whole Jeff Jarrett thing. Like, do whatever the hell you want to Sean. Piss him off. But, like, what does Sean have to do with that?
I think he's joking, obviously. He's joking. Yeah, so I have Chelsea. You have Mrs. Tiffany Stratton. Minnesota.
We're on a lot of stuff today.
That's good. Yeah.
We'll I'm going to kick your ass, but that's good.
Well, what else is new, right?
Yeah.
We go with the 6-man tag team match. We have.
I feel like the thing that the opinion that we're gonna differ on this one is who gets pinned. Continue.
Yeah. Anyways, we have Mr. Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes taking on the Bloodline. Now they haven't really said, I believe, who's gonna represent the Bloodline in this. So I'm sure we'll see Solo. I know we'll see. The new guy,
Jacob Fatu.
Yeah, Jacob Fatu. And I'm thinking Tama Tonga is the route they go. What do you think?
I feel like the people are wondering if it's gonna be Tangaloa or Jacob Fatu. I feel like Jacob Fatu is the question mark here. Will he be in this match? I
think he will be.
I think that he will be. I know people are speculating that Solo Sikoa will pin Cody Rhodes. It kind of makes sense because Cody Rhodes was the first one to pin Solo Sikoa on the main roster. And that, you know, goes for full circle. And while I understand that, this is the second quote from Spencer. Death, taxes, and Kevin Owens getting pinned by the Bloodline. Those are the three things that are always a thing. And he has such a good point. I understand that people are going for Solo Sikoa versus Cody Rhodes at probably SummerSlam. That's fine. I hope to God that you cannot hear the awful music that's coming from my balcony. You can't hear anything, right?
I can't, but I can't hear.
What a wonderful microphone I have. Mm-hmm. So,
Pugzilla asked a good question. Can Jacob work in Canada? Well, you know, the thing is, for the longest time, people were saying that the Usos couldn't wrestle in Canada because of their record that that I think it was, I don't want to say because I don't know which one it was because I cannot remember that. However, they were able to get, I don't want to say a pass, but they were able to get like a legal okay because it was for work. So, I mean, they went through the government to get the okay, I believe. So I'm sure WWE's doing the same thing if they haven't. I mean, or maybe he, you know, it's hard for me to say, but I would assume that they have this taken care of, especially if he's on like the promos and the card for this, because yeah, they're advertising him to be there. So I assume he's going to be okay to work it. I mean, it's just, okay, thanks, Jimmy Uso. So it was, I didn't want to say the wrong one because that would have been, I just didn't want to do that. So you're saying you think Kevin Owens gets pinned?
Jacob Fatu pins Kevin Owens. I mean, okay. I don't want this to happen. I'm a huge Kevin Owens girl. I don't want this. I'd rather Cody get pinned. I don't care about Cody. Are you kidding me? Like, he got that title and I don't care about him anymore. Like, it's Twin Peaks all over again. So yeah, probably Kevin Owens.
Okay. So again, I don't know what I said yesterday, but I think Solo Sikoa ends up pinning Cody Rhodes now, at least. I probably said Kevin Owens because he does take a lot of pins in these matches. Okay, good. But I think a lot of people think like this would be the time for like maybe Randy Orton to turn on Cody. And I know we saw him look at the title last week, but I don't think it's time yet because
He gave Cody Rhodes such a magnificent side eye.
Yeah. It might be time because SummerSlam, Cody versus Randy is a good match for SummerSlam, you know? So So it'll be.
What's the pay per view between SummerSlam and Survivor Series?
This year,
Hell in a Cell.
I believe they're bringing Hell in a Cell back. I believe, and they haven't said where, but I think the speculation. I think it's going to be Atlanta is where it's going to be.
Okay.
Is from what I think, and I don't remember who said it, but I believe that's where it's believed to be, and I believe it is going to be Hell in a Cell. But this match is very interesting because it's, in my opinion, it's going to set up the match for Cody at SummerSlam, and I was always hoping that we would see Solo versus Cody because that would be the perfect time for Cody for Roman to return after that match. So I just know one thing. I'm ready for Roman to return. I would absolutely love it if he comes back tomorrow night.
Do you think that he returns tomorrow night?
I think there's I want to say it's a 50% chance, but I think, okay, let me rephrase. I think it's 33 1/3 chance.
There you go.
Out of tribute. So, but I think with Roman, it's going to be SummerSlam. I just really do. But you also, you do have another show in Saudi Arabia before Survivor Series as well. And
I'm not going to count that.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Roman will be part of that card because they always bring out the big names for that. So, So it sounds like both, like we have the Bloodline winning.
Regardless. Bloodline winning. The question is who gets pinned here. That's what I said at the beginning.
Yeah, I think Cody does, and you think Kevin Owens. So there we go.
I hope that you're right again because I don't give a crap about Cody and I adore Kevin.
It'll probably be Randy because of us now doing that.
It makes no sense because why would he challenge for? Why would he have a legitimate claim over a title when he just got pinned?
Yeah. Well, I know. That's the thing. It's just, we'll have to see. It's intriguing. That I'll say. And we'll move on to the main event now. Damian Priest defending his title against Mr. Seth freaking Rollins. We talked about this a lot earlier because of the Money in the Bank match. Mm-hmm. So I think the easiest question is here, Maggie. Does Damian Priest walk out of the Air Canada Center with that title?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, when I sat down to think about the Money in the Bank matches, I nearly got a nosebleed, okay? Because, like, there's... And I love this because we say on our show a lot that predictable isn't necessarily bad when it makes sense. But when it's not predictable and it's a brain buster and it's kind of even better because like a lot of things make sense now and it's a totally different person in charge, which actually, you know, kind of makes sense when it comes to storytelling. So it just makes me more and more excited because I believe in the process. I didn't used to, but I believe in the process now.
I have Seth Rollins walking out.
Okay, that's absolutely fine. Everyone knows I adore Seth. But the truth is, it really doesn't matter who wins because Gunther has that championship.
Yep.
After that, I mean, in the most simplest of ways, he just came out on Raw and he said, the better man on Sunday will be the lesser man at SummerSlam. I mean, tell me that's not the most badass thing that you've ever heard.
Yeah, no, exactly. So yeah, our fact checker, Miss Brinley, says...
There you go.
Yep. August 31st for Bash in Berlin, and then the next Saudi show is
November Survivor Series.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, there's been heavy speculation about what Hell in a Cell happening in October. So,
okay.
All right. So, yeah, Finn Balor. So I think three matches for SummerSlam that they're going with: Finn Balor versus Mr. Damian Priest, Seth Rollins versus Gunther, and CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre.
Damian Priest did ask Finn Balor to stay out of his business, mm-hmm. which for me sounds like Finn Balor will try to help Priest, but he's actually going to cost him. That's one thing. I still think Damian Priest is walking out as champion. I don't know what happens, okay?
It's good though. I'm excited.
It's really good. It's really good. I am so annoyed at the fact that Money in the Bank is on Saturday and Heatwave is on Sunday. It makes no sense to me because a lot of the people who went to Canada for the shows are going to go home after Money in the Bank and just not stay for Heatwave. It should have been the other way around because for me... And yeah, I know I'm selfish. For me, that means that I have to get up so early on a Sunday morning before work to watch the goddamn pay-per-view. Thank God it's a WWE pay-per-view with 5 matches as opposed to 15 matches and a 1,000-hour pay-per-view for AEW. So that's the only thing that doesn't quite makes sense for me, you know, the placement of the 2 days for the two premium live events, but I'll surely get over it. It's gonna be an awesome morning for me with wrestling, but I'm really excited for Money in the Bank.
Yeah, well, before we move on to our NXT Heat Wave, Maggie, how you feel about doing some Cooper Fact action right now?
Okay.
Let's go. Here we go.
Jade doesn't quit in the chat. She told us that there over 10,000 tickets sold for Heatwave. That's really good. That's really awesome. So 8 puppies were abandoned in a parking lot in Texas, and they were rescued by deputies, and they're ready for their new homes. Let's just get this out of the way and just mention how ridiculously gorgeous the woman is.
I'm glad you did, because I was going to be
Okay, let's get out of the way. She's gorgeous. Even I can't stop looking at her, okay? So you can put the picture back on.
Okay, good. We might just keep that up for the rest of the show.
Yeah, we can just keep that up for the rest of the show. I mean, we don't matter. So the stupid thing is that they were abandoned in a parking lot where there were no cameras, and there was no way that they could find out who the fucking psychopath was that abandoned these 8 adorable puppies. But they're good. They saved them. They gave them water, a lot of fluids. They gave them a bath, and now they are ready for adoption. This whole thing is happening in Texas, by the way. I have no, state knowledge, but if this is normal for Texas, you can tell me right now. It's really stupid. Who does this? Who does this to a bunch of wonderful puppies? I hate the person who did this. I hope that their cereal gets soggy.
Peed on. Yeah. I hope their cereal gets peed on.
And when they dip their biscuit, And when they dip their biscuit into milk, the biscuit falls into the milk. Yeah. And other horrible, horrible things that make your existence worse.
We say it every time we have a show, like animals on our, we love animals, and for somebody to do that, it just makes me want to just say things and do things that I can't say on
punch
YouTube.
punch them in the stupid face. Oh,
a lot more than that. So
but
yeah, great story. And glad those dogs, those puppies are
ridiculously gorgeous woman. Yes.
Yep. Quiet. And if she wants to get her handcuffs out, let's go.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing? Coexisting Rob and Maggie. We hope you're watching.
I know you're watching.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, why? Might as well move on, because she gave us both a heat wave. So,
yeah. So,
So we have Miss Ariana Grace, Carmen Petrovic, JC Jane, and Nix, right?
Jasmine Nix.
Yeah, thank you, Jasmine Nix. I was going to say Jamin. I'm like, that's not right.
The weirdest name to spell on that NXT roster. There's no way you know from the get-go how to spell Jasmine Nix. Because they themselves changed it a couple of times. They changed it a couple of times. I'm like, which one is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently, of course, the Canadian chicks will win here. Carmen and Ariana Grace.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, that's a wonderful way, because this is on the pre-show. Yes. That's a wonderful way to, you know, get the audience started. With a win from, you know, the local girls.
Yep, I agree 100% with that one. So we move on to Kalani Jordan and Solo Ruka. This match, I think, is going to kick ass.
But, it's going to be so good. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, they're not going to take that title off of Kalani yet. So, and Solo Ruka is great, by all means. I think she'd be a great champion. But like you said, they're not going to take that title off her yet.
A hidden slapper right here. It's so, on the one hand, you have Kalani Jordan, who's a gymnast, if you didn't know, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
He's a gymnast. Okay. I'm being sarcastic here. So, she's so fluid in the ring that she has, I have a problem getting behind her because I still have no idea who she is. I mean, she's champion, and I still kind of feel like they gave her no character apart from the fact that she was a gymnast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even kidding. It's like, who is she? Who is she apart from a gymnast? And on the other hand, you have Sol Ruka, who, Rob, did you know that she was a gymnast?
Yeah, I did. I found that out too.
Yeah. You know? The stupid thing is that they're making a huge percentage of the female locker room in NXT either a former gymnast or a former cheerleader. And I do not know what to think about that. Even more stupid thing is that I forgot who, but she's been a bit featured on the NXT roster because she's still on Level Up. I don't remember what her name was, but there's a female wrestler which actually has a background in amateur wrestling, and they mentioned none of that. Like, they shove it in your face.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Which one is it? I totally spaced that out.
Yeah, it's I'm gonna pull it up here because I know I just.
Okay. The wonderful thing is that during a backstage segment, we found out that Danny Palmer was back from her injury, and yay! So she can be actually the next to challenge Kalani Jordan.
Mensa is her name. Mensa Stock, is that right?
I legitimately have no idea. Okay, I'm gonna agree with you, but like
Tyra May Steele is what she goes under.
Okay.
So Mensa Stock is her name. So okay,
that's fine. But like, what I meant to say is, I'm sure that the match is gonna be ridiculously good. But I'm gonna need for them to tell me who these two women are. I kind of feel like that they did a better job with Sol Ruka, but I want to know who Kalani is. She's so good. I adore her in the ring. She has the opportunity to be the women's side of Carmelo Hayes, Ricochet, you know, those types of in-ring skills.
The flying.
But I'm just gonna need a bit more.
Sure.
Because like NXT women's division is something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I have higher expectations for them. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I get it. And you know, like the thing is they did not do a great job explaining about her. They didn't do a good backstory, which we normally get good backstories from WWE. But you know, it's one of those things where at least they gave us something, the way I look at it.
Yes.
But again, I don't see them taking that title off of her because she just won it. Mm-hmm. But the crazier things have happened. Well, we will move on to our next match. The NXT men's tag team titles, Chase U, Andre Chase, and
Duke Hudson.
Thank you. Duke Hudson. I was taking on Axiom and Mr. Nathan Fraser, Ben Carter.
Just call him Ben Carter. It's okay. Absolutely fine.
So
I feel like we can call him Ben Carter until they give
until
him back
WWE his name. Says no. Okay, gotcha. Okay. Well, I think I can't remember what I predicted yesterday, but I think Ben Carter and Axiom lose these titles because I think one of these two is going to turn on the other soon.
This
if it's
is
not
exactly
at this show.
What you said.
Okay. Hey, I remember some things. Now I don't know which one is going to turn. I think I think the way Axiom has been acting, I think he's the one turning. But I could totally see Ben Carter like being the one. Like
That's the good thing, right?
Yeah, it's great because I can totally see it. So this one's tough. But I mean, as far as like what happens between those two, however, I think Chase Yu gets the titles. What do you think?
This is exactly the way I'm going. They did. Andre Chase did ask for Rich Holland to stay in the back during their Heatwave match because Duke Hudson did come clean and showed Andre Chase a picture of Rich Holland helping him get the pin in order to become number one contenders. So Andre Chase was like, I understand, and I'm going to have to ask you to stay in the back. Riley Osborne was smirking a lot because like he never trusted Rich Holland, and now he has a reason not to. He said, oh, I know I was right all along and stuff like that. I do see Rich Holland coming out regardless, but I do feel like Axiom and Nathan Fraser will be losing their championships on Heatwave this Sunday. And I can see, like, this is exactly what I mentioned in the live chat during the spotlight. Axiom can turn on Nathan Fraser and he can take off his mask. He's, oh my God, it's a kid! Because, you know, a kid. I would really like for him to get that mask off because I hate it and I feel like it's... I'm not going to say that I forgot what A-Kid looks like because I haven't. But it actually makes no sense, you know. They made a lot of throwbacks to A-Kid when they talked about the Heritage Cup with, you know, Tony D'Angelo and the family. But yeah. I hate that they're doing this to NXT tag teams all the time now. Because, yeah, like, they demolished almost all the NXT tag teams that they were. And now Luke and Gallows are there. New Cash Republic are there. Aren't they on the main roster? Like, could you please tell me where they are? And if they are, why are you splitting up tag teams in NXT? That's a whole different conversation. But yes, Chase Yu will be new champs.
Alrighty. So we will move on to our next match. This one I think we will be unanimous with because I just don't see him losing anytime soon. Oba Femi defending his North American title against Mr. Wes Lee.
Listen up. Oba Femi should squash Moose. End of story. He should squash the guy.
So you're moving on from Wes Lee to Moose?
No. Moving on from Wes Lee. I don't care. Like, of course he's going to win against Wes Lee. Wes Lee can have a bit of, you know, offense. That's fine. That's nothing against Wes Lee. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be misunderstood here. Wes Lee is adorable. But it's Oba Femi. He should never lose.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned this on the spotlight in the chat, and I'm like, Oba Femi should never lose. And I don't remember who, but like he has to lose at some point. And I'm like, no. He doesn't have to lose at any point. Thank you.
No,
squash Moose. Just squash the guy.
Just squash him. Squash him. Yes.
Squash. So.
All right, we will move on to our women's match here, the women's NXT Women's Championship. Roxanne Perez defending her title against Miss Lola Vice.
Oh my God, Tiffany Stratton can cash in on this match.
Oh no. I don't like that idea at all.
Did anyone talk about this whatsoever? Because like it's a Sunday. You know?
Yeah, I don't like that, Maggie. Get that out of your head right now, young lady.
I, I don't like it as well, because like I feel like Tiffany Stratton's place is on the main roster now. Like she has a storyline with Nia Jax and everything. It won't happen. It's just something that popped into my head right now. It's not gonna happen. Yeah, Roxanne's gonna retain her championship. I did appreciate the promo from Lola Vice. I kind of feel like that promo should have been before her NXT Underground match against Shayna Baszler. Mm-hmm. It kind of made more sense to me. But the more we get a closer look into the person that is the behind the wrestler, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. The delivery was kind of a bit weird, because you can see that Lola Vice is still a bit new with her mic skills. She will get better. She will get this, better.
This one I could see happening if somebody was to do it. Chelsea Green, I could completely see doing it.
So if Chelsea Green wins, you want her to cash in on, because that's a wonderful way for her to get away from Adam Pearce, right?
Yeah, I mean, I where she could do both. Like, I'm sure she would.
Oh, no,
do both.
She's on SmackDown now, right?
Yeah.
Is she on SmackDown?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I totally. Jade, sweetie, are you in the
chat? I think, man, it seems like she does both. Like.
Yeah, I know, but like that was before or all the.
I think she is on SmackDown because we haven't seen her. She is on SmackDown.
I feel like they did have that whole thing with Adam Pearce being, you know.
Yeah. Matt makes a good point too.
Yes, absolutely. I kind of feel like that belt will stay on Roxanne until Julia is 100% ready to get in the ring with her. All right. I can't wait for that match, by the way.
So you got Roxanne winning?
Absolutely.
Same here. All right. We will move on to the main event here. For the men's NXT Heavyweight Championship, Trick Williams defending his title against Javon Evans, Ethan Page, and Mr. Sean Spears, two Toronto or Ontario, Canada natives. Whew. You know, this match yesterday, I think I said Trick Williams, you know, and four people being in it now, they can protect Trick Williams, like, if they want to, you know, that's the big thing. And you can get Ethan Page that big victory. Man, it's tough. This is a tough one. I'm still going with Trick. I think he overcomes it, but I would be completely 100% okay if Ethan Page was to win this. I think it'd be great. But I just think Swerve holds on.
I'm going to turn off my brain for this match and just listen to my heart, and my heart says Ethan Page every time. I know I'm almost, because like we always say, oh, it's a triple threat match, or it's a four-way match, and that way they can protect the champion and, you know, have the champion lose. And they never do. Have you noticed that? They never do anymore.
Yeah.
Like when the champion isn't either a triple threat or a fatal four-way or whatever you want to call it, always the champion somehow retains. And, I'm sure, I'm almost sure that Trick Williams is going to retain here. But what do you do with Ethan Page after he loses here again? Like, what do you do with him? And I don't want him to disappear. This is Ethan Page. He's, you know, and there's so much that you can do with a TNA, partnership going forward. Because imagine if he holds the championship and Josh Alexander comes out.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, imagine that shit. And that's why I'm going with Ethan Page, solely because of that TNA partnership.
Oh, my God. That would be That would be amazing. It just would be. My God. That makes me like want that to happen even more, but I still don't think they have Trick. I don't think Trick loses. That's
why I told you that I'm shutting off my brain and listening to my heart during this match. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, so we did our WWE Money in the Bank and our NXT Heatwave predictions. So that was a little bit of fun. So we got about 15 minutes before we go. So
we can talk a bit about MJF.
Yeah, I was going to bring, that's exactly who I was going to bring up. MJF looks like he made his heel turn.
And Hangman.
Yeah. So MJF turned basically heel this past week on Dynamite when he kicked Mr. Danny Garcia right in the dick hole. So that day on Fightful Select, Sean Ross Sapp reported, which you can get for only $5. That Danny Garcia is going to be an upcoming free agent. So I think it's only logical. This is my opinion. Again, I think it's only logical that maybe they did this to write him off for a little bit. Maybe he's taking time off.
He was pretty heavily featured on the show.
So I mean, there's a couple of reasons. Maybe. Somebody thinks, oh, he's going. I'm like, no, I don't think he's going. I think he's staying because he knows he's a big deal there. They like him a lot. So I just don't see him going at all. He's somebody I just don't see picture leaving AEW anytime soon. I'm not saying he won't ever leave because you never say never, but I don't think he's leaving. But yeah, DMD, Britt Baker, we'll talk about too. But what do you think of Mr. Maxwell Jacob Friedman turning on? It was a matter of time.
Oh yeah, this is absolutely something that MJF needed, and the way that it happened, because the match between Will Ospreay and Daniel Garcia for the International Championship, that was a wonderful match, simply wonderful, up until the point when MJF previously said that I'm going to be in your corner. And Daniel Garcia went, okay, that's fine. And MJF was giving him pep talks through the entire match. And then at one point, he got out the Dynamite diamond ring. Can you just talk for a while I kill the spider on my wall?
Yeah, absolutely, because spiders deserve to die. Horrible deaths. So Daniel Garcia, obviously, MJF said the week before that they were going to have, he challenged them to have a match at All In. And while that would be a good match, I just don't see that happening yet. I mean, I just don't see it. Did you get it?
Yeah, I did. So, like, moving for, I deserve a cookie. Like, so that's two cookies for me today. Yeah. So, as I was saying, he gave him the Dynamite diamond ring. And Danny refused to use the ring. And I feel like not enough people are talking about how professionally done this was. Like, he turned away from MJF in the exact moment enough for Will Ospreay to hit him with the hidden blade. That was so perfectly done, right to the millisecond. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kudos to Will Ospreay and Daniel Garcia. Amazing work. So Will Ospreay pins Daniel Garcia. And then, because like Daniel Garcia was emotional, he was disappointed in himself. Will Ospreay was giving him a heart-to-heart talk in the corner, you know, of the ring. And then he took his title and he went away because he thought that this was Daniel Garcia's moment, you know, to bask in the audience's ovation. Then MJF got in the ring and said that this was on me, okay? This wasn't you. These people still love you. That's on me. Then he pulled him up, he hugged him, and then he kicked him right in the dick balls. Yeah, so I saw this coming a mile away, but it was so good because he kicked him and then a horrible, horrible beatdown. And when I mean horrible beatdown, I mean horrible beatdown. He hit him with a diamond ring. And when you think about it, Daniel Garcia should be the one to beat MJF for that diamond ring. He should be the one eventually. I don't mean now. Right now, yeah. I mean, eventually, because no one's been able to beat MJF for that ring. He's held that ring for like 5 years now.
Yeah, since the beginning.
Yeah, since the beginning of AEW. You should. Everyone should have seen this coming. MJF needed that a lot. And eventually, when Adam Cole returns, he can say how right he was this entire time.
Yeah.
That is it. And there's logic behind MJF's heel turn, because the only reason that he turned babyface was Adam Cole, and he's not there. You know, all the kangaroo kicks and everything. Like, everything makes sense. If someone says, oh, it makes no sense, that you haven't been paying attention to everything that they've been telling you. Such a wonderful thing. Eventually, Will Ospreay did come out in order to help Daniel Garcia, and MJF ran out of the ring. I feel like it's safe to say that we're getting MJF versus Will Ospreay at Wembley. And my mouth is watering from that. It's going to be so good. It was great. But this week's Dynamite was great as a whole. We did have Hangman Adam Page returning with new theme, which I feel like I'm the only person on this earth who hates it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And that's not, let me just explain myself. This is not because the music isn't good. It's because his old theme was that good.
Yeah. I prefer the old theme.
Yeah, it was so good that I hate any other theme that Hangman Page has. I didn't know who was coming out until the moment I saw the horse, you know, on the Titantron. And I'm like, okay, it's Hangman. I'm so excited Hangman's back. He kicked the crap out of Jeff Jarrett, my boy, as if I needed a reason to like Hangman more. By the way, best match of Jeff Jarrett's career. Best match.
Yeah.
I'm obviously kidding, but it was the best match of Jeff Jarrett I've seen in a long, long time.
It was really damn good. It was good to see him do that. And you know,
J-E-double-F J-A-double-R-E double T.
Got a standing ovation after the show, or like after the match when he was walking back to the I know he just pissed and I love it. he got a standing ovation, and that made me very happy to see that, to see the footage of that. He deserved it. So Maggie sending me a death threat probably right now. Oh my god. Oh, don't block your boss. Anyways.
I block all my bosses. I don't give a crap.
Okay. Well, do what you feel like is a must. But anyways, I really love that they did that. The crowd did that. As much as we've been shitting on Chicago, I'm glad they did that for Mr. Jarrett. That was good.
But, yeah. After that, The Young Bucks did welcome Hangman Adam Page backstage. They were like, oh, it's so good that you're here. How about you be our fourth, you know, in the War Games match. And Hangman said that he is no longer the Elite's puppet. And then he storms off. Well, and they still go, oh, thanks for coming back and everything. I don't think that his decision is final, because the moment Swerve declares for the Blood and Guts also, because Mark Briscoe declared for the AEW team.
Well, I think technically Swerve already, like, didn't Swerve pretty much guarantee he was in it?
Or, I don't remember anymore. I don't remember anymore.
I was at the damn show, and I can't even recall.
There you go. So if I feel like any opportunity the Hangman gets to get his hands on Swerve Strickland, he's gonna. Because during his match against Jeff Jarrett, there were a bunch of Swerve's house chants, and I love that because I feel like we talked about this on our show already, but I think Hangman and Swerve are destined to dance with each other forever. And I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good. It's just so, so, so good.
Yeah. Britt Baker returned?
Britt Baker. I was so fucking glad when she returned at Forbidden Door. It was kind of clunky because like Mercedes Moné won. She was celebrating in the ring when her music stopped for a long ass time. And I'm like, this is a botch. They were supposed to put on the music for the person that was going to come out. So this is me being nitpicky. But because it was such a wonderful thing, and I will always be nitpicky when it comes to Britt Baker. I'm so glad that she's back. She's so jacked. She looks really, really good. So she talked about her health issues, how she requested some time off from Tony Khan because of that. I always feel the moment a wrestler disappears from my television, I stop asking questions. Oh, well, where are they? I need to know. No, I don't need to. Like, maybe they're dealing with a bunch of stuff that is none of our business. So I'm not going to ask where AJ Styles has been, okay? I'm just going to wait here patiently until someone tells me where he's been.
Yeah.
So she was out there, you know, doing her thing. She was talking about the past, present, and the future, which was respectively lesson, gift, and a motivation for her. So she did bring up Mercedes Moné and her CEO chance in her theme. She was so ironic here. I've missed Britt Baker so much. Like, I feel like the women's division all of a sudden has a breath of fresh air, even though she was there from the very beginning. I missed her a lot, lot. So then Mercedes Moné comes, and I can see Mercedes Moné joining the Elite. I can totally see that happening because the Young Bucks are there to welcome her. And they're like, oh, we're so good. So glad to have a CEO that we can actually get behind. That was so good. So they tell her to go to the ring where the crew are getting the ring ready for her celebration. And they just start getting the ring ready while Britt Baker is still in the ring.
Yeah. So, oh, go ahead.
No, you can go.
Okay, so Clown 13420 says Nick Gage is going to be at GCW show tonight in Toronto, so pretty sure Jacob can get into the country too. I know that there's some things like legal loopholes, but when it comes to that, but
that's good. Sean's laughing at me.
Oh, good, that's funny. Maggie, plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me at Twitter or Twix or whatever at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Thank you, Rob.
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fight for Rob. Want to say thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next week. We'll probably talk about NXT Heat Wave and Money in the Bank and everything else going on. But Maggie, I got some jokes. You want to hear them?
You do.
Yeah, I got them. So, I got one really good one, I think. And you know how I am with reading them.
Yeah, so you always get the good ones in the beginning and then just fall down here from there.
Yeah, I know. That, what else is new, right? So, I'm going to do this one first. And hopefully, actually, I might just do one today and save the other one. Anyways, here we go. A lady is in a department store, and as she's passing through the jewelry department, she sees an item that catches her eye. She goes over to the display case, leans down to take a closer look at the item, but accidentally cuts a fart while doing so. embarrassed, she thinks to herself that hopefully no one was around to hear it, and she can just go about her business. Her fears are imagined when suddenly behind her, she hears a man say, "Hi, ma'am. Is there anything I can help you with?" She tries to play it cool, and she says, "Yeah, I was just admiring this ring on display. How much does it cost?" The sales clerk responds, "Ma'am, if you just farted by looking at it, you're going to shit when you hear the cost." I thought that was a good one. But, yeah. Guys, we want to say thank you for very much for tuning in today. We really do appreciate you. And we will see you again next week.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.